Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 18, and let's pray. Father, I just ask the Lord, you'll bless our time together. Lord, we lift up the prayer requests, Lord, that have been spoken this morning and during our time together. And Father, you know all the requests, even the unspoken ones. Father, we just trust you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up all our spoken and unspoken prayer requests, everyone that's on our prayer list on the back of the bulletin. Father, we just lay them at the foot of the cross. They ask that your will be done in their life. And Lord, give the ones peace and mercy and direction and guidance and everything that they need. Father, we just ask that you show us mercy and grace. And we just love you. Lord, help me teach this morning in the way that you put it on my heart this week. I love you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 18. Let's read it. Verse 1, for since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. Verse 3, but in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written for me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Verse 9. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 10, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Verse 18, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Everybody say amen? I know it's a lot of scriptures, but it's okay to read the Bible in church, right? You guys all right with that? Okay, awesome. If you have your bulletin, there's a sermon notes in there. So we had a chance to do them this week, and we try to do them every week. So please follow along, and let's be students of the Word, right? The most extensive and detailed object lesson that God ever gave us was the tabernacle. And we've been talking about that for a while now. It seems like the writer of Hebrews keeps repeating himself, but that's okay, right? Remember I said, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. I looked up in the Webster's dictionary, what does object lesson mean? So let me just read it to you. A striking practical example of some principle or ideal. So as we've learned so far in the past several weeks, the tabernacle was a shadow or a pattern, like we learned last week, a pattern of good things to come in the future. And we know those things, you know, came when Jesus came and died on the cross. The animal sacrifices and Levitical priesthood were also object lessons. So remember that as we go through the scriptures here this morning, they're object lessons. And not until Jesus Christ did they really make sense to the people. Now, in this passage today, we find three good things we have in Christ. So if you're taking notes, here we go. Ready? Three good things in these 18 verses. Jesus brings us near to God. So number one, Jesus brings us near to God. Number two, Jesus reveals what God wants from us. Jesus reveals what God wants from us. And number three, Jesus makes us holy in God's sight. Jesus makes us holy in God's sight. So let's look at the first one. Jesus brings us near to God. Everybody ready? Say, I'm ready?
Ready.
All right. I won't say, get ready. Anybody know what that means? Anyway. In verse 1, so let's take a look at verse 1. Verse 1 says that the law was a shadow of the good things to come and not the actual good things themselves. It says, therefore, the sacrifices were repeated year after year after year, but they did not provide the perfect cleansing for the worshipers. These were a shadow or a preview of Christ's coming. See, the Old Testament, now look at this, the Old Testament saints, they never experienced the Lord's presence. They never experienced the Lord's presence. Even on the Day of Atonement, we were taught, right? And the Bible says that only the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies. He's the only one that can experience God's presence. So the Old Testament worshipers felt guilty for their sins, because the sacrifices only covered their sins. See, the old worshipers were told that if they went into the Holy of Holies, they would be struck dead. But however, under the new covenant, the book of James tells us that we can what? We can draw near to God. James 4:8 tells us we can draw near to God and He will draw near to you. James 4:8. So in verse 2, it goes on in verse 2 and it tells us that if the Old Testament sacrifices could have provided this perfect cleansing, then they would not have stopped. They would not have ceased. Now listen to this. Because the worshipers would have been cleansed for all time. For all times. Now verse 3 goes on to say, look at verse 3 real carefully. It says, the Old Testament sacrifices were an annual reminder of sins. We're going to stop right there for a little bit. The Old Testament sacrifices were an annual reminder of sins. Do you have an annual reminder? Do you have something that reminds you of where and how you messed up? This many folks in here, it's probably half of you. I'm just being conservative. But most folks have an old song, a place, a smell, a season that reminds you, and it comes back over and over, occasionally, here and there. So my question is, do you have an annual reminder that reminds you? Some folks don't, but a lot of folks do. Verse 4 tells us why. Listen closely. I'm not going to put my counseling hat on here, but it's hard not to, right? Verse 4 tells us, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sins. Some folks probably have told you, you just need to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. I encourage you to give that up. You can't forgive yourself. You don't have the ability. It sounds good in therapy sessions. It sounds good in books. But in reality, you don't have the ability to forgive yourself. I encourage you to rest in God's forgiveness. That's where true healing comes from. It's from the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Rapha, the God that heals us. Stop trying to forgive yourself. So Paul said, forget what lies behind and press on the high calling of Christ Jesus. It's symbolism. And symbolism doesn't take away sins. All that bull and goats and all the other craziness. It was symbolism. The counseling world, there's a thing that we're taught to write down all the things you've done wrong and go to a fire pit and burn them. That's all good. And that makes you get a little feely good feelings for a little while. But it's symbolism. I personally don't do that anymore. Because it's symbolism. And that does not set people free. The blood of sacrifices of animals provide only a temporary covering for sin until the sacrifice of Christ's blood could take away the sins. If you have something in your past that haunts you and it comes back every once in a while at a season or a smell or a song or a reminder, I encourage you to give that to Jesus. Give that to God. Receive His forgiveness. Because that's where we rest. In our mind, we don't even have the ability to forget it. But God does. He says He's forgiven us of our sins and cleansed us from all unrighteousness and cast them as far as the east as the west into the sea of forgetfulness. God has the ability to forget. But we don't. So rest in Him. Even the communion that we do. Praise the Lord, I love communion, but it's symbolism. Taking communion is not going to save you. Drinking that little cup of grape juice and eating that little cracker is not going to get you in heaven. Now, we're commanded to do that, and I honor that, and so I'm not talking down about that at all. You know, because I love communion. It touches my heart every time. It's precious. But still, it's just symbolism. Jesus commanded us to do it, to remember Him. Only the blood of Christ takes away our sins. Now, if you look at that Greek word, take away, this is what it means. It means the complete removal or cutting off. It's the same Greek word used when old Peter cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Same word. Christ takes away our sins. So the first good thing we have in Christ is He brings us near to God. We've talked about that many Sundays in the past, about how we can boldly come to the throne of the Lord now. Number two, let's go to number two point. Jesus reveals what God wants from us. So listen to the word here now. Take good notes. In verse 5 and 7, the writer of Hebrews quotes a passage from Psalms 40, 6 through 8. That's what he's doing. So let's read it again. Okay, verse 5 says, consequently, when Christ came into the world, everybody with me? Verse 5. When Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Now, David wrote that over 1,000 years before Christ. He wrote it not really knowing that there was this dialogue in the future between God and Jesus before Jesus came to the world. You see, guys, God has never desired sacrifices and offerings. God could care less about bulls and pigeons and goats, and He could care less about that. He wants complete obedience out of love. It says in the scripture, therefore, He prepared a body for Jesus. And with complete obedience, for the love of the world, Jesus offered His body. And God was pleased. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of what God wants from us. Did everybody hear that? Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of what God wants from us, and it is total obedience and love. Jesus came not only to give us an example, but also to make us capable. Jesus makes us capable of doing God's will in our life. Through Him, we can do it. We can love the unlovable. We can be patient with those who get on our nerves. God has always wanted a people that was zealous to do good works and to love people. Think about that one. He's always, from the beginning of time, looked for that obedience. Just obey me. Even when old crazy Adam and Eve, what did He tell them? He said, you can eat from anything in this garden. I mean, just help yourself to this huge buffet. Fellowship with me. Spend time and hang out with me. But you see that little tree right over there? Just don't eat out of that one. Don't leave that one alone. All this other. Here we are, right? Here we are. Titus chapter 2. I'm trying to think about this. No, I'm not going to go there. Titus chapter 2. That was for another day. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. Listen to this scripture. I'm going to read it. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, everybody say who? Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. And we all know we're not talking about salvation here, right? That's we already covered that. God wants us to be good. Have you ever seen the Phil Robinson's testimony on I Am Second? You know what I'm talking about? If you're not familiar, go to I Am Second. It's a website. And for all these famous people to give their testimonies about Jesus. I mean, rock stars and musicians and everybody you can think of, sports heroes. They all testify about what Jesus has done in their life. I showed the Phil Robinson ones to our clients, you know, at Penfield every 6 weeks. And it touches my heart, man. He's just, you know, the Doug Dynasty guy, everybody know what I'm talking about? And one part in there really touches me because he keeps it so simple. He says something like, he sums up everything in the gospel. He says to himself in his old country way, you know, he says, I just need to love God and love people and try to be good. And the way he says it right there, it just touches your heart because there's a lot of humility in that. Just love God and love people and try to be good. And he jokes because he says, I never tried that when he was drinking and running the bar and all that, you know. But it just strikes me because it's so simple. And I thought about that when I was putting all this together and even looked and tried to do a little video and didn't work it out. But God wants us to be good. And being good is not just passively refraining from sin. Here it is, ready? It's actively showing the love of Christ by doing good to others. Galatians 6:10 says, so then, as we have opportunity. In other words, every time we have an opportunity, here's the scripture, right? So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Everybody hear that? We need to be good to people and be good to others, especially to our family right here. We need to be good. In Hebrews, now let's look back to Hebrews chapter 8 and 9. It says that when Jesus was above in heaven, he said to God the Father, I'm going to read it again. He says, when he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. It says, then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Everybody with me? When Christ came to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice, he set aside the first covenant to establish the second covenant, the new covenant. The Old Testament was never meant to be permanent. Never. It's temporary because it was only a shadow of the good things to come in Christ Jesus. Jesus did what God wants every worshiper to do. God has always wanted loving obedience. See, during the Old Testament and Old Covenant, those worshipers brought their sacrifices. They did for the sins. But if you study Scripture, you can see that most of them didn't really have a desire to do God's will. They were just going through the motions. Most of them did it out of obligation. I got to do this. Most of them did it out of ritual, traditions. Most of them did it out of fear. And then some of them just did it because they want to see what they can get from God. What can he give me? What can he do for me? God just wants people to love him and to love others. Matthew 22, Jesus sums it up, right? He said, all the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. And we all know them. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. So the good things we have in Christ are, number one, He brings us near to God. Number two, He reveals what God wants from us. And then number three, the last one, number three, it says that Jesus makes us holy in God's sight. Verse 10 tells us that it was God's will. Think about this now. This is what the Bible's saying. It's not me up here, you know. Verse 10 says, it tells us that it was God's will that we be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, if you study that word sacrificed, right? Sanctified, sorry. If you study that word sanctified in the Greek, it means to be made holy, to totally set apart, dedicated to God. Only when we are sanctified, only when we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus are we usable by God. You would not live in a house that had fresh cow patties all over the house. Would you? Huh? No, of course not. That's a dumb question. Neither will God live in or use a person who is not sanctified or made holy by the blood of Christ. We have to be sanctified. In other words, we have to be born again. We have to be saved. We have to be believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We have to be children of God. And Christ sanctifies us. Verse 11 and verse 12, it tells us that under the old covenant, the priest stood to perform their religious duties day in and day out. The same sacrifices, which would never take away the sins. But however, we've learned that our high priest, Jesus Christ, the scripture says, offered for all time, past, present, and future. Jesus, for all time. One single sacrifice. Verse 13 says, it tells us that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. This is verse 13. Waiting for the time when His enemies will be made a footstool to His feet. I'm going to just read this little part right here. The word footstool refers to the ancient practice of conquerors placing their feet on the necks of defeated kings to show the total submission of the enemy. Everybody get that one? That's pretty cool now. Jesus is now waiting for His enemies to be made His footstool, which means that they will one day acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. Philippians 2, verse 9 and 11. It says, therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the time of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. On that day, everyone living and dead will make that confession. Buddha, Muhammad, Stalin, Hitler, every kind of crazy person we could think of, they're going to bow. That's when Christ's enemies will become their footstool. By Jesus' single offering, He perfected us who are continually being sanctified or being made holy. You see, we're all sinners saved by grace. And we all sin. And our holiness in Christ is a lifelong process. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." As Christians, we are a work of God's process. We're a work in progress. It's a lifelong process, right? So we're a work in God's progress. Philippians tells us that. If you're taking notes, Philippians 1:6 says, "I am," and it's the memory verse for the day, Philippians 1:6, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Can I get an amen for that one now? Verse 15 to 16 goes in and quotes Jeremiah 31:33. This means that the sacrifice of Jesus, this prophecy was fulfilled from Jeremiah, because we know the Holy Spirit was in charge of that, right? The Holy Spirit was speaking through Jeremiah. And 2 Peter tells us that, "For no prophecy has ever been produced by the will of man." No one's ever prophesied under the power of the Holy Spirit because of some man's power. It says, "But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And we know if we study the Old and New Testament, it all comes together and all makes sense. When you really, really get into studying. Here it is, guys. Ready? The good news is Jesus died on the cross. God raised him from the third day. And when we stand before God as our judge, our confessed sins will not be recalled. We sing victory in Jesus. This is what it's about right here. We may have some victory on earth, but you're going to have trouble on earth, aren't you? You're going to have trials and temptations and all kinds of stuff. But when we talk about victory in Jesus, this is what we're talking about. In verse 17, it says that God will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Wow. Jesus has already paid the price. So listen closely to this. Jesus has already paid the price for all of our sins, and our righteous judge will not demand payment twice. Jesus has paid for that once and for all. And then in verse 18, the last one, it tells us when our sins are forgiven. Now some of you really, really need to hear this one right here, so pay close attention. Verse 18 tells us that when our sins are forgiven, there is no need to offer another sacrifice for sin or repeatedly confess the same sin. Don't fall into the trap of confessing an old sin over and over and over again. There's no need to do that. Christ died once for your sins. I encourage you that if you get mental, because it's a mental torment of fear and worry and self-condemnation. When people worry about that sin you did a long, long time ago and it comes back up, if you're reminded of it, and then you self-condemn, you condemn yourself and put yourself down. Then you ask and you confess, "Lord, please forgive me for that." And this is a vicious cycle. No offense, but it happens a lot with women when you get over 30. Get over 40, those hormone things. You know. Men too, though. I encourage you to rest. Rest in the blood sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross once for all sin, for all time. Rest in Christ. He has forgiven you. And He has cleansed you as white as snow. Amen? they are eternally forgiven and forgotten because Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Now, there's three things we have in Christ. The first one was He brings us near to God. And He reveals, second one, He reveals what God wants from us. And the third one is He has already paid the price. Amen? He makes us holy in His sight. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord. Thank You for this good news. Lord, thank You for the good news that we are saved. We have our citizenship in heaven. We're just kind of doing our time here on earth. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You've given us the opportunity now to spread this good news and to love others and to do good works. Father, there's one here this morning that's never accepted You as your Savior. Lord, I pray during this time of invitation, Lord, they will come down and be glad to pray with them. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.